today, it's the gang, the whole gang, and nothing but the gang. And we've got a lot to talk about. Let's do it on Steve Brown, etc.
He's an old white guy, an author, broadcaster, and seminary professor who's sick of religion. And he's brought friends. Please welcome Steve Brown, etc.
And we are so glad you're here. You always have a place at our table. And I'm Steve, the old white guy. Matthew Porter's here. If any new graduates are wondering what a journalism degree is and where it can take you, one possibility is you could end up writing bad jokes that people fast forward through. Matthew is our executive producer. And our producer, Jinx, is working hard in his little glass booth. Jinx, who's that with you?
It's my number one fan.
Your dad.
That is my dad. Say hi.
Glad to be here.
Morning, Michael, it's good to have you with
us. Our guest
us.
Today is Michael Jinx. He has been the father of Jinx for 42 years and is still alive.
No, you're
See,
a long
Matt,
time.
Write that down. You can use that.
Our video director and IT guy, John Myers, is in his tech bunker. John, you've been working remotely so long, Matthew went ahead and turned your office into a tiki bar. Hope that's okay with you. By the way, we decided to do it this way for the rest of the summer. We're doing it without masks. Kathy is not cleaning the microphones and the chairs and the wires as often as she did. But we've decided that we're going to upgrade and do some things in the studio. So come the fall, we'll be looking at each other face to face. But right now, through the summer, we're going to do it this way and do it in our own places and get used to doing it the right way in the fall. Dr. George Bingham is here. He's the president of Key Life. Years ago, George asked himself, what would Jesus do? And he grew a beard. And Kathy Wyatt is the soft, intimate side of the program. When they were handing out niceness, she let others go ahead of her because she was, in fact, already nice.
By the way, I am still cleaning your microphone and your headphones.
Well, that's from the tobacco smell. It's not from from COVID.
And because
it's
she's
really
nice.
Interesting.
Because I'm nice.
And because you're nice, of course. I have gone to a number of restaurants over the last few days since the powers have said that if we have the vaccine, we can take the mask off. And I go in, half the people are still wearing them, and I usually ask the waiter, can I take this stupid thing off? And he often says, yeah, of course. Or sometimes he says, if you want to stay, you'll keep it on. So we haven't had anything settled about that, and maybe we'll talk about that today.
You know what's interesting to me? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm finished.
Oh, I was just going to say, and maybe this is a topic for later conversation, but it's been interesting to me that it's referred to as the mask, not a mask. Like it's got some sort of symbolic, significance beyond just being a utility sort of covering.
You know, you may be onto something. I read somewhere where that you can tell whether somebody's a liberal or a conservative by whether or not they wear masks. Conservatives refuse and then make an obscene gesture. The liberals look down their long noses as conservatives and say something really profound, like you want to kill your grandmother or something like that. So maybe it is the mask that is symbolic for those of us who either wear them or don't wear them. I think everybody on Jinx, do you have your shot? Or are you not going to get one?
What shot?
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah.
First grade, I think. Yeah, I got them in first grade.
Yeah, you know, there are people that when they find out you haven't gotten a vaccine, they go ballistic. And I personally think the government ought not be mandating what we do medically. My doctor can't even do that. So I'm for you. If you get sick, I will visit you in the hospital. If you die, I will provide an outstanding memorial service for you.
Oh, gosh.
And in both cases, he will be wearing the mask.
Yeah, right.
I just don't know what we're going to do with all these third arms that people are going to start growing.
I didn't even know you did this, Matthew, but you did a survey, didn't you, of our listeners and viewers and asked them, you know, what kept them up at night or something like that.
Yeah, on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/KeyLifeNetwork. Thanks for asking. We have all these cool videos. There's sermons. There's this show. But there's also like a little social area where we post photos or ask questions or whatever. And so about 2 weeks ago, we put up a thing just to kind of like a pulse check, I guess you would call it, and just put up multiple choice to say, hey, what's going on with you? What do you need most help with right now? So there's a few options. Coming in at 10%, I'll go from the least to the most.
Okay.
People said faith and culture, would like to hear more about that, how to reconcile the two. At tied at 14%, people said I could use help with learning how to forgive and more about theology. And then second place is at 22% is people saying I could use some more hope for the future. But far and away out in first place with 39%, almost 40% of people responding said I could use some help with learning how to overcome guilt.
That surprised you guys? Didn't surprise
me. They're in the right place.
Yeah. You know, I early on, before we even had Key Life, I was a pastor. I did that for a lot of years. And in fact, I can get to heaven without grace. They won't even ask about Jesus. They'll just say, you poor dear, you come on in. If you did that, man, you did it by works. But early on, I always knew I was screwed up. I always knew that I was a sinner. I mean, I'm the most honest person you know with himself. I just don't talk to others about it. These are my secrets, and I'll keep them to myself. But I knew about me. But I thought maybe that I had been called to pastor a church of really good, kind, nice, pure, and obedient people. And the reason God put me in front of them is because I was the worst of the bunch, and that was the only way he could keep me straight, by putting me in front of the people so they could watch me. Very soon, I began. For instance, in the first year at the church I served in Miami, I got more suicide calls than I had gotten in all of my years of ministry on Cape Cod and in Boston. I listened to more confessions than you would believe. And then years later, for some reason, I began to meet people who are pretty famous in Christian circles. I was on the board of Christianity Today for over 20 years, and all my heroes were there. Billy Graham and a bunch of others that you would know. And I used to sit there and think, I can't believe
that I'm a part of this. But one of the things I began to understand, and I think it happens because people think you can't get any worse than Brown, so I can tell him anything, was to listen to confessions of famous Christians. And all of a sudden, it hit me. We're all the same. And the place where we're mostly the same is exactly what our survey showed, almost 50%, and I think it's 80%. In fact, it may be higher than that. Early in my ministry, I've said this a lot since then, but I remember the first time I said it to a conference. I said, everybody in this room has secrets. And if you were forced to reveal them, you'd be so embarrassed, you would have to leave. And so we're going to take a break. We're going to come back like Jesus. And when we come back, we're going to go around this screen, and each of us will confess our 10 biggest sins.
Knew that's
and
where
then
we're headed.
If you'll stay with the program for a little bit, we will see that revival and awakening takes place so big that even George Whitefield would be jealous. Guys, we are going to come back, and it's our fond hope that you will too.
Hi, this is Eric, producer of Steve Brown, Etc. If you've been listening very long, you know I'm a struggling believer, and I'd love to share some things that have helped. At Key Life, we believe that the deepest message of the ministry of Jesus and the Bible is the radical grace of God for sinners and sufferers. And we have 4 mini books that'll help you believe that no matter what you've done or what you're going through, God's not mad at you. Feeling Guilty, Suffering, and Faith and Doubt by Steve Brown will help you apply healing biblical truth to where it hurts the most. And my mini book, The Gift of Addiction, How God Redeems Our Pain, shows that coming to the end of ourselves is actually the beginning of faith. These 4 mini books are in the Grace for Sinners and Sufferers mini book combo, and it's available at keylife.org for a suggested donation of $12. They're also individually available for a suggested donation of $4.
You're listening to Steve Brown, Etc., and you always have a place at our table. Before the break, Matthew told us about a survey they did on our YouTube channel, and I wasn't aware of it until today. And they asked something like, you know, where do you feel a need? What keeps you up at night? How can we help? And, you know, there was stuff on theology and culture and about the future and how to forgive others. But almost 50% of the people who responded to that survey said they felt guilty and they need some help with sort of that. So before the break, I suggested that we all would confess our 10 greatest sins to you. And then when we had done that, you would see revival taking place. That was Nick's during the break. These people are not very kind. And they said, we'll break your face if you do that, which is almost where all of us are. We do have secrets and we don't share them with other people. And that's one of the problems in the church. Is that we really do think, as I was saying in the last section, we really do think that we're the worst of the bunch and that other people. I remember a guy that came into my study one night and said, he was a lawyer, said, I'm leaving. I said, what do you mean you're leaving? He said, I'm leaving the church. We had a guy who gave his testimony that night. And he said, I've decided I can't be a part of this bunch. I'm not good enough. I said, sit down. I want to talk to you. And then I said to him, I am not allowed to reveal secrets from other people. But when you heard that testimony, you didn't hear the whole story. And I know the whole story. In fact, I know the whole story of the people in this congregation. I've been here for 20 years. I used to say from the pulpit that I was working on a book on my experiences in ministry. And then I would smile and say, and you're in that book. And for a significant contribution to my retirement fund, I will exorcise your name from the, and I had job security, man. I knew their secrets. And so I said to this man, you know, one of the problems in the church is that you don't know the secrets of other people and they don't know yours. And so we pretend to be something we're not. And that's one of the things that we are trying to give people help with. We're aware that over 50%, and I would suggest it's more like 90, and the other 10% are living in denial. Everybody has trouble with guilt. There are things we wish we had not done and are doing and wish we weren't. The prodigal son always goes back to the pig farm. He just doesn't stay as long. There are people we've hurt and wish we hadn't. There are things we've said and wish we hadn't said. There are things we thought, and we just wince when we think to ourselves, and old Slewfoot, Satan himself, the father of liars, always says if you were a Christian, you wouldn't think or do or say those things. And that's a lie. And it's from him, from the pit of hell, and it smells like smoke. So one of the reasons Key Life is designed the way it is because we're aware of that in us, and we're aware of that in you. And the more we're aware of it and we're honest about it, the more free we get and the more power we have. George said during the break, if I don't say anything, do I have to feel guilty about it? And I said, yes. George, you got a comment on this?
No, I'll just feel guilty. You know, it does seem like what comes along with guilt a lot. I mean, it's kind of the question that was coming to my mind. And what comes along with guilt a lot is shame. And I was wondering if there's a distinction between the two. I mean, does one come before the other? Are they two different paths? Are they things that are
separately? They both smell the same, but guilt is kind of, I think, a measurement of oneself by what has been revealed by God, the Big Ten, and throughout all of Scripture, and whether you feel it or don't feel it. Once you measure yourself, you know the truth of who you are. You know, Jesus ratcheted that up in the Sermon on the Mount big time. He said, if you even think it, you've done it. So don't go around pretending that you're righteous and good and pure, because we're not. And Jesus made a point of doing that always. And in throughout the Gospels, he did that sort of thing. So I can feel guilty without feeling much, except it's me. It's not my brother or my sister or my father or my mother. It's not somebody else's fault. I did it. I planned it. And it's first degree. That's guilt. Now, associated with that, I think, and I could be wrong, and I am often, but associated with that is the feelings that come along of wanting to hide, to pull the mask you have over your nose and your mouth up to your entire face, to just get over in a corner and be quiet because of the awesome shame that you feel because of what you've done. I have a friend, by the way, who's a leader, Christian leader, who fell fairly recently. And one of the things he told me, he said, the shame was awful at the beginning, but the closer I got to Jesus, the better the shame got. And We think that the closer we get to Jesus, the greater the shame will be. That's a lie. It's not true. As we move to him, not only is the forensic guilt that we feel becomes less because of the blood of Christ, but when we're hugged by him, when we know we don't deserve it, when we walk into the throne room and we're welcomed there, when we know that he knows all the secrets that we don't tell anybody else, and still invites us to be with him because simply because he likes us. That blows me away. And, you know, I can deal with shame as long as my wife accepts me. And in a similar degree, I can deal with shame as long as you guys accept me. But I'll tell you something. When I know that Jesus accepts me, no matter who I am or what I've done or am doing, where I've been, what I'm drinking or smoking, man, that'll mess with your head. And it's frankly how I became the spiritual giant that I am. I am better. And it wasn't because of the rules. It was because of Jesus. Guys, I feel like I'm preaching a sermon, and I'm really not. Well, maybe that's what I always do. When we come back, we're going to change the subject, and it's going to be a very interesting one.
From Key Life comes two mini books, What Do You Do for a Living? And Life After Retirement. What Do You Do for a Living by Justin Holcomb addresses the problem of defining ourselves by what we do and how we perform in our work instead of by who we know, a gracious, loving God who defines who we are. Life After Retirement by Steve Brown examines how those transitioning from work to retirement often experience a loss of purpose in life, and how the quest for personal significance can best be answered by God's radical grace, love, and purpose for our lives sufficient to carry us through this transition. What Do You Do for a Living and Life After Retirement can help guide people struggling with either work or retirement. These two Key Life mini books are available through keylife.org for a donation of $6.
We're so glad you're with us, and we decided for this program. We were forced to do it a couple of other times when a guest made an obscene gesture and walked or just didn't show for whatever reason. And then we had to talk to one another, and we decided, you know, that was kind of fun, and we would plan. And so this time the guest didn't show, and we decided just to sit around and talk for an hour. And we kind of like each other, so that's not really a big problem. We do a lot of that anyway. We just turn on the microphones and the cameras, and we'll do it in the public. And we've been talking about guilt and shame and the difference and being forgiven. And Jinx has brought his dad with him, Michael. Michael was an elected politician for a lot of years, but don't hold that against him. It was not Washington. And he did a fairly good job in raising Jinx. So we're going to listen to what he has to say. And off the air, he was saying some things that are good. So, Michael, chime in. We're glad you're with us.
On the topic of guilt, I had a couple of things that came to mind. And especially for me, and I think for most people too, we have a problem with sharing guilt.
Yeah.
or confessing. You know, some people don't like to use confessing, but sharing, either one. We have a problem with that. Like I said, well, I just can't tell anybody what's going on. Well, if you can't tell anybody else, tell Jesus. He already knows, but he wants you to come to him and confess,
yeah,
ask forgiveness. And that led me to the second thing that came to mind was forgiveness. And even if we do find that we can give forgiveness to other people around us, I think the hardest people we find to forgive are ourselves.
That's a good point. It really is. In fact, when I resigned from the pastorate, I was very close to a breakdown. It was physical. I was traveling 180 days a year and writing a book a year and doing 5 broadcasts a week and trying to be a good father and a good pastor. And I just, and the wheels came off. Now I have a deep voice and I pretend pretty well. So nobody knew it except Kathy and my wife, but it was a very, very hard time. And you know, Michael, what I did, I spent a day after I'd resigned, and I have sermons and notebooks that I'd preached. And so I thought, you know, I really messed people up over all these years. As I began to see the truths that we teach on Key Life, I was thinking, gosh, I got to go back to the churches I've served and apologize for what I taught them. But as I went through those sermons, and I went through hundreds that day, as I went through those sermons, I began to realize I didn't mess anybody up. This stuff is true. It's gracious. It isn't as clear as it is on Key Life, but the seeds were all there of radical freedom and grace. And then I thought, so if I'm the teacher, why am I on the edge so much? And I realized that just what you said, Michael, I didn't apply it to myself. I thought it was for other people. I didn't think it was for me. Matthew, one of the things I've noticed from you is that you kind of viscerally get this message. You know, back in the days when we were doing the secular talk show and you were doing humor for it, even then, I saw an unbelievable way that you understood grace, applied it to yourself and applied it. Where did that happen?
I don't know. I want to go listen to these old shows now. Well, sounds awesome. Thank you.
Well, you do, and you still manifest Jesus. That.
Yeah. Well, if you know, hanging around Key Life, if the grace is not amazing, then you might need to take a minute and reacclimate yourself to what it is, because it's just absolutely audacious and scandalous, and it really colors every single thing about our lives. So it's the only thing I got going for me. Hope it's true.
But you knew that before Key Life, you know, somehow.
Yeah.
Maybe parents, maybe.
No, you know, my parents are great, Ed and Sue. You know, I think it's the whole package that God put together. You know, you need to get it from the Word. You need to get it from the Holy Spirit. You need to get it from the church. You need to have not just the church at large, but those close people that like we're talking about, that you have that kind of intimate confession with. There's an author I know, I can't remember who it was. He calls them his dagger friends. They're the friends who know something about you that if they revealed it, they could shut his whole ministry down.
Yeah.
They have that kind of access. I literally last week, the guy who's one of the most godly influences in my life texted me a confession. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I have that same struggle. I'm glad you said that.
Wasn't that
freeing? Helps me already.
We need to do that with one another. I think I've given you that quote. A friend will forgive you if you killed somebody, but a real friend will help you bury the body. Well, we need friends like that. At least someone that we can tell it all to and know that they will still love us. Well, maybe we'll change the subject when we come back, and then maybe we won't. But whatever we discuss, it will come from Sinai. It will be true because it does. And if you disagree, remember, we're right and you're wrong. He was irritated when the electricity went out. No television, no music, no Netflix. Then he discovered that the battery on his smartphone was dead. He decided to make some coffee, but when he went to the kitchen, he realized that without electricity, he couldn't even do that. Then he noticed his wife in the kitchen, and he sat down and talked to her. He said later, "You know, she seemed like a very nice lady." I know, technology's good, but sometimes go talk to somebody face to face. You might be surprised how nice and real they are. It's messy sometimes, but Jesus would like it. I'm Steve Brown. You think about that. Share what you just heard with a friend. Go to youthinkaboutthat.com. We're so glad you're with us. We love it when you join us, and we're just sitting around talking about this is all stream of, except for the bad jokes at the beginning. Those are written by Matthew. But other than that, nothing scripted on this broadcast ever. And when we sit around and talk, it's obviously just stream of consciousness. And we spent most of the program talking about guilt. That's because we want to help you being pure the way we are. And we want to let you know how we got there. And we thought that would be helpful. For those of you who are just joining us, Matthew told us about a survey that we did, I didn't know about, on our YouTube channel. You guys in the radio stations, and I think there are 200 or more across the country. You don't get to participate in this unless you go to the YouTube channel. And the question was, where do you need help? And there were lots of things. There was theology and culture and some hope for the future. Boy, I need that. And then the top two, well, then how to forgive was in there. But guilt was almost at 50%. And so it was just a no-brainer when we sat down to talk on this program today that we'd talk about guilt. But the sister of guilt, and Jesus made this the sister, he said, when we pray, forgive us our debts, or if you're a Methodist, our trespasses. And then he said, as we forgive our debtors. And then in the Gospels, right after that, he preaches a sermon on forgiveness and how important and how central it is. I have a hit list on my prayer list. I tell Jesus each morning, I hope you kill them off or give them the hives or something. But I know that's not right, and you don't give me any wiggle room. So I forgive them by faith. And ask that you would bless them and make this a contract before you until you fix me. And you know something? And this sounds really pious, and I don't mean it to sound that way. He does. Nobody stays on that hit list very long. Well, there are two that have been there long, long time.
Hey, but, remember, I'm right here.
I'm sorry I parked in your spot,
C.J. George. Kathy, you want to comment on this?
Well, I thought Matthew's comment about when you asked him, when you were talking to him and he was talking about grace and, you know, learning it from before he got to Key Life. In my case, I grew up in a Christian home, and I grew up in a pretty strict background. And so I don't think the whole concept of what grace really is and how radical it is really came into being for me until I came across your path and the path of Key Life. And I think for me, the need to embrace it is because I, like everybody else, struggle so much, not only with my own personal guilt, which absolutely just overwhelms me, just overwhelms me. But I also deal with guilt when you're just talking about, you know, forgive us our trespasses, et cetera, as we forgive others. I really struggle with that one. And by the way, it's not just the Methodists that say trespass. It's the us Lutherans say that too, just in case you were interested. But anyway,
Kathy has become a Lutheran.
Yeah.
She's
but anyway,
a fanatic. And
I was in a meeting, one time, not too very long ago, where an elder who was conducting the meeting made a statement about the church that I belonged to at the time and said, you know, we are not radical grace in this church, which just was like a neon, you know, sign that went off in my mind. And it must have come across on my face, because he stopped me afterwards as we were all leaving. And he said, I sort of got the feeling that you were upset with what I had said. And I said, it just surprised me, because I thought this church was radical grace. And I said, the gospel is radical. Grace is radical. And if it's not, then I'm in a whole lot more trouble than I think I am. And this is not the church I need to be in. And that, I think we sort of at that point nobody was yelling or screaming or anything, but we kind of went different ways, and we've not had any conversation since. I thought, really? This is big, you know. How do you deal with guilt, this one thing, guilt, if grace isn't radical? I don't know how you do that. I can't.
And you know you got to forgive him.
Oh, yeah, I do. I know that. Yeah, question is, will I?
But not yet, she says.
But not yet. Who was the guy who called his wife to his deathbed and said, you call your brother-in-law and you tell him I forgive him, but you wait till I'm dead. We haven't talked about culture, but self-righteous people don't forgive. And self-righteousness is a sign of a life without God. Whether you're in the church or not in the church, whether you're an atheist or you call yourself a believer, self-righteousness is always a sign of a life without God. And as our culture moves away from God, it should be no surprise to anybody that we create a cancel culture, where no slack is cut for anybody. Because we don't believe in forgiveness, because we don't believe that we need to be forgiven. And so the only option you have is you're wrong and I'm right. And not only that, I'm righteous and you're evil. And so we quickly, on social media and politics and academic institutions and even in the church, we just reject people. Kathy's comment about the guy who's a twit, by the way, I don't know who he is. But her comment, of course I've got to forgive him, and I will, because she gets at a very deep level the radical grace that Jesus went through a lot of trouble to give us. Comments? Well, we can have a hymn sing.
As the choir sings, let's gather.
I'm going to sing soprano.
Take up a collection.
14 verses.
And y'all come forward to the front of the screen while we're singing. You know,
take up a collection and we'll pray for healing. Actually, we are at the end of this section and we've got one more to go. So don't move. That is often the best of the entire broadcast. We'll do a lot of things, but mainly we'll tell you about who's going to be with us next week. And if they don't show, we'll do this again. Just sit around and talk. If anybody asks you what you're listening to, you tell them Steve Brown, etc. And then do your self-righteous gig. Stick your nose in the air and say, I thought everybody did. Don't go away. We're coming back.
Hi, this is Eric, producer of Steve Brown, Etc. If you've been listening very long, you know I'm a struggling believer, and I'd love to share some things that have helped. At Key Life, we believe that the deepest message of the ministry of Jesus and the Bible is the radical grace of God for sinners and sufferers. And we have four mini books that'll help you believe that no matter what you've done or what you're going through, God's not mad at you. Feeling Guilty, Suffering, and Faith and Doubt by Steve Brown will help you apply healing biblical truth to where it hurts the most. And my mini book, The Gift of Addiction, How God Redeems Our Pain, shows that coming to the end of ourselves is actually the beginning of faith. These four mini books are in the Grace for Sinners and Sufferers mini book combo, and it's available at keylife.org for a suggested donation of $12. They're also individually available for a suggested donation of $4.
Well, the hour's gone by quickly. It always does on Key Life. I forgot to include all of the promotions and the things. You can get the Key Life weekly letter to remind you about what we've been talking about today. And we need to hear that from others or we'll get discouraged. And if you let us know by going to the website, keylife.org, you can sign up for that. And if you haven't discovered our app, John Myers, and you don't see it, we see him on the screen, but you can't. John Myers worked for months and months and months along with a lot of other people on that app. And it is so cool, I can hardly stand it. Seems to me I ought to be saying something else, but I forget. But anyway, we've been talking, and that's kind of our theme about guilt and grace. We did a survey Matthew told us about on our YouTube channel, and almost 50% of the people struggle with that. And the other 50% are living in denial. And so we spent most of this hour talking about guilt and grace and sin and forgiveness. And we've decided that Jesus likes us about 10% more than he likes you. But if you'd like to be a part of our group, you can always do that by going to keylife.org. And sign. In fact, if you send a generous contribution, we offer free sins. So, you know, if you want to be really free, you could. And that's a joke. Don't send me like Kathy.
What?
Who's going to be on next week?
You're going down the tube with this fast, I tell you. Next week, you all have to put on your thinking caps because you're going to act like everybody's going to have to act like they know something. There's not going to be any fooling around because our friend Fuzrana from ReasonsToBelieve.org.
I knew very, you didn't say that.
Yep. Very heady. Fuzz and with other folks from Reasons, but we're going to have Fuzz because he's one of our most favorites. Their new book is Thinking About Evolution, 25 Questions Christians Want Answered. So here we go.
I suspect, knowing Raw, Fuzz, he's going to offend all of us, at least at one point or another. But it'll be okay because we won't understand what it is he's saying.
That's true.
So, as Kathy said, put on your thinking cap. It's going to be a great program next week. Not as good as this one, but a great program next week. Same time, same place. We hope you join us. And as always, between now and then, don't do anything we wouldn't. And that gives you a wide, wide berth.